Most of a pastor's job is saying things we don't understand and pretending that we're right. So.
Okay, from the pulpit?
No, never from the pulpit, just a daily conversation.
Sure. All right, well, welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are taking our faith beyond Sunday mornings into our lives every other day of the week. This is Patrick Nazaroff, and I am joined, as always, by Pastor David Bowser.
How you doing, Patrick?
Yes, and Katie Phillips.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Aloha.
Okay.
For all our listeners in Hawaii.
Yes.
We hear you and we see you.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about movies. Some of our favorite movies. Movies that have maybe can shape our faith in a way.
Yeah.
And help help those things. But first, how was y'all's Halloween?
That was good. Yeah.
Did you go trick-or-treating? It was raining here in the Houston area.
It was. We went trick-or-treating through the raindrops, so we got pretty wet. But, yeah. Our daughter's pretty young. She just turned 3, and so we did, like, 6 houses, and she was pretty well set. She had her bag of candy, and we went home. So, yeah, we made it.
Our Halloween was good. It was very wet. And really, through and through, we stayed pretty dry as could be.
Sure.
We were in cars. Driving to different streets, and we got all the little kids back in the van right before the rain started, but the big kids were in the back of a truck.
Okay.
So, needless to say, my oldest child was drenched head to toe by the time we got back to shelter.
Sure. What were they dressed up as?
Shane, who is 7, was dressed up as Steve from Minecraft.
Yeah, I saw a picture on Facebook.
It basically
just
looks
like a big box.
Oh, pretty much.
Okay.
Like a big boxy guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't look like a very comfortable costume.
Especially when it's soaking wet. I'm sure it's really helpful.
Well, it's foamy. I don't know what. Mm-hmm. It's not like big styrofoam on the shoulders to make him look boxy, but it's. I don't know what it is. It's interesting.
Okay, so Steve.
So Steve from Minecraft, and then Shelby, who is 5, was Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Good role model. Yes. I like that.
Yeah. What about you, Pastor Dale? What was Sophia?
Sophia was dressed up as Minnie Mouse with the little dress and the ears and white gloves. The white gloves were her favorite part, so that was fun. And Amanda and I did not really dress up as anything, but I wore my Viva la Reformation shirt with a picture of Martin Luther, because that's what October 31st is all about.
Did you nail things to your neighbor's doors?
I did not. I thought about it, but I just decided not. It was raining. I was like, I don't want to carry
it's
a nail.
A lot of work, paper's going to get all wet.
Right. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Reforming things is just way too hard for a night.
Before we get into movies, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you familiar with what Pokemon is?
I mean, the concept of it, sure. Yeah, I get the idea.
Yes. I'm not quite there yet as far as my kids playing Pokemon. Shane kind of, the 7-year-old, kind of has an idea of characters, like Pikachu, the little yellow guy.
Now, do you know Pokemon Go?
I've heard of Pokemon Go.
Yes.
Yes. When it first came out, like, people were everywhere. I remember going to the park with the kids, and, like, I'm like, these people are walking around, like, what are they doing? Yeah. Like, who is this?
Bunch of weirdos with their phones.
Right. In our parking lot here at the church is a Pokestop of some sort. I don't know what it is, but
I can tell you.
At regular times, people pop out here.
Yeah. Yes. We periodically have rare Pokemon in the parking lot of our church.
We should tell them that every Sunday we have rare gifts in the church.
Yes.
We just come into the building and we can tell you all sorts of
stuff. And they get here and they're like, there's no Charizards.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I have the bread of life.
Yes. Yeah, I came back from a middle school mission trip. We came into the parking lot and there was like 40 adults in the corner of our parking lot.
That's
and
not
all my kids
are
like, what is happening over there?
That is an excellent question, kids. Let's go inside.
Yes. Well, if you are not a Pokemon Go fan, I have good news for you.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not, and so this is good news for me. Yes. Okay, here we go.
There's a new Pokemon Go clone that allows players to collect Catholic saints instead of monsters.
Oh, dear God.
Yes. Yes, the Catholic Church is releasing Follow JC, which you can go around with your phone collecting Catholic saints.
All right. So, okay. Who are some of the rarest saints? Does it talk, like?
I don't know that information. Unfortunately, it's not. You're not quite there yet. I think it's only in Italian.
Oh, okay. So I got to go to Italy.
Yeah, and I believe Italian. It's only in the Vatican area.
That's probably for the best.
Sure,
yeah.
But you can in Rome, Vatican, you can go around finding your Catholic saints on your phone.
Wow. Interesting.
You're there. Okay. Yes, you can find a Saint Ignatius or something. Or,
all right.
Yeah.
Now, so this maybe is digging too far into something that's just kind of an amusing thing. But is it actually taking to like places where the saints were and or are buried or a relic of the saint? Or is it just like, you know, here's this group of trees in a park. Here's Saint Peter. Look at that.
I don't believe so, but I do believe they do have ways for you to engage in spiritual, you know, battle. Okay. In Pokemon, spiritual you battle battles. With one another.
Right, you do, yeah.
And here I think you do go through some spiritual disciplines.
Okay.
Interesting.
So you train up your saint so that they can battle Satan on your behalf.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds handy.
To release, yes, your favorite saint.
Okay. Yeah. Hmm. There we go.
Do you have a favorite saint?
I don't, because I'm not Catholic, so.
I don't either.
Yeah. I guess.
You don't know any saints? I mean, you probably know a few.
Yeah, you just might not call them saints, right? Like John was a saint. Mark was a saint.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know them. Yeah. 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 We just don't call them saints within the Lutheran Church. Right. Yeah. So I don't have a favorite. Though my last senior pastor, I don't know if he is listening or not. He might regret me telling the story, but he was trying to sell his house for quite a while, and they were having no luck. And there's some patron saint, I don't remember who it is, Joseph or somebody, maybe, I don't know. But there's a patron saint where if you bury a statue of this patron saint in your backyard, it's supposed to help you sell your house.
That seems pretty obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what believing in saints is supposed to be about.
Yeah.
So this is the theory. And so his wife was like, we haven't sold this house in like 2.5 years. We just needed to sell. I'm going to do this. And he was like, no, because if you do that and it works, I'm going to have to seriously reconsider my position as a Lutheran pastor. And she's like, I don't care. I'm doing it because it's just a thing. And sure enough, they buried and sold. Yeah, not like the next day or anything,
right.
But within a month or two of doing that, it did sell. And it hadn't sold for 2.5 years.
Maybe you have saints buried in your backyard.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, once Follow JC comes out here in America,
that's right. Yeah.
You can find them in your own backyard. Yes.
I'll look forward to that. I've just got saints like hanging out all around my house. That's, yeah.
All right, so we're going to talk about movies today.
Oh, right. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Not just following saints.
Yes. Kind of special movies that have maybe impacted our faith or raise faithful questions. I love movies. Do you guys like movies?
Yeah, I enjoy them.
You know, I'm not really a movie person.
Katie's along for the ride.
I am. Yes. I'm along for the
ride. You're a good sport, Katie. Yes.
You'll see once we get to my movie choice.
Yeah. So these are not necessarily in and of themselves Christian movies.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I think we kind of expressly said we're not going to pick ones that are designed to be quote-unquote Christian movie.
Yeah, because most of those are not very good.
Well, that's a piece of it, which we're going to talk about another time. But
yeah.
You know, the idea is, how do we find faith? How do we experience God in everyday stuff, right?
Sure.
When you're at a movie and you're seeing Spider-Man or you're seeing Wonder Woman or you're seeing, you know, some murder mystery, whatever, you know, how do you experience faith through those mediums? Whether or not that was the intention of the creator of that film or not,
sure.
We certainly have the ability to experience our faith in those places.
Yeah, the neat thing about our Christian values is, they're everything can be pointing us towards Jesus. We can utilize the things in this world as tools to get us there. I mean, Jesus uses story and metaphor often in his teaching to guide people towards a better understanding of God and a better understanding of God's love.
Yeah, even Paul at one point is debating a bunch of philosophers in Greece, and you know, points to this row of gods they've got, and they have a statue or a podium thing to an unknown god, and so he uses what's there to say, look, I can tell you about this unknown god who's greater than all these other gods. I can tell you, and so using the things that are in the culture already has a rich history in Christian and religious belief. Yeah.
Yeah, we can use Pokemon Go.
We can
talk about the saints in the Catholic Church.
Exactly.
Yes. We can create our own. Find the 95 Theses.
Ooh, there you go. Yes. The 95 Theses are hidden around the greater Houston area, and you've got to go track them down.
They'll be called Follow ML.
Follow ML. There we go.
There you go.
All right, so let's talk. Who wants to start us off here? Who's gonna go first?
I got
first?
The ML. Thank you. Yeah. I'll okay. go first. I'll All right. go first.
Are you going to do a lot or just one at a
I've
time?
I got two that I want to talk about. And well, then,
why don't you just do one?
And I'll do, we'll come okay, back that's to fair. You. I'll, yes. do, yeah, I'll do one and then I'll do... So my first one, I'll do kind of an obvious one first. And then when we come back around, I'll do a one that maybe people haven't seen. So okay. my first one is Lord of the Rings, the movies. Now, I've read the Lord
that
of the Rings.
That is a great choice.
I thought yes. so. I've read the Lord of the Rings books as well, but I read them as a kid, so I don't remember them as well. Mm-hmm. But in the movies, there are a couple things that really stand out to me that speak to our faith. I mean, one, you've got this group of people who come together from all sorts of different walks of life to care for one another, to journey together towards this common goal, putting aside all these other differences, saying, yes. look, we are united in this thing that we have to do together. And I think a lot of ways, that's what church should ultimately be about, that we come and put everything else aside, and we come together towards this common goal.
So we should be saying in church, you have my bow and my axe, you know, like yeah, we're joining that's right. together. It's, yes.
We should be pledging to one another, yes. well, really to Christ, right? I mean, that, yeah. And so, yeah, we might not do it in that quite dramatic fashion, mm-hmm. though that would be fun if that's how sure. we greeted one another every yeah. Sunday morning.
If somebody in church said, like, you have my 9mm.
Right.
You know, that would be like...
That'd be a little bit more concerning for yes. me, given the current state of our world. But sure, yeah, I hear sure. what you're saying.
Yeah,
but... You know, so when we come to church every Sunday, though, I do put aside my identity as a particular political party or as a person of a particular race or a particular status. And we come into this space and say, when we are working towards this common goal, none of that stuff matters. You know, mm-hmm. in the case of Lord of the Rings, it doesn't matter that we're an elf or a dwarf or a man or whatever, a human, I should say, excuse me. And we're going to put all that aside and we're going to come together and we can do the same thing in our faith here.
Sure.
And then when you get to the end of the movie, and I guess we should probably say, spoiler alert for the remainder of the podcast. Like, just we're going to talk about the movies. If you haven't seen them, we're sorry in advance.
Yes. Side note: did you see? I read this news article of this guy in Antarctica, the scientist who was reading books, and his scientist friend kept spoiling them for him. Well, and then he ends up stabbing him.
Oh, jeez! This is like a real thing.
Yes.
So
don't stab us.
Yeah, we're warning you now. We're going to talk about how movies end. Please don't come and stab us if you're angry about it. But so at the end, you know, there's these two hobbits and they're trying to carry this ring to be destroyed in this mountain. And the person,
Frodo and Sam.
And Frodo is the main ring bearer. Sure. That's his job, is to carry the ring. And he gets to the point where he can't carry it anymore. The weight of the burden is so deep that he can't do it. And so there's this really beautiful scene where Sam picks Frodo up on his shoulders and carries him up the last leg of this fiery mountain. Yeah. And, you know, there's a couple of things that I think about there. But for me, that idea that we put our own safety, right? Sam had a chance to stay home mm-hmm. and never be involved in this. He says, no, this caring for my friend, protecting this yeah. this person who I love and who I care about is more important than my own safety.
Yeah.
And to the point where he can't continue, so I will carry him mm-hmm. And make sure that he has an opportunity to do that. And that's something, and I'm curious, have we ever had, and I'll ask this to both of you, have you ever had a place where someone has carried you or where you've carried someone else in the context of faith?
Yeah, for sure. I think there are definitely going to be times. I look back in my life when I was 13, I had major family issues going on mm-hmm. at home. And that was also a time where kind of my faith was starting, blossoming in there. So for me, the youth director at the church I was going to at the time was somebody who was helping carry me, like necessarily couldn't carry my burden, but could carry me
yeah.
in the yep. midst of my burden.
Right.
And I think by working with youth, oftentimes I kind of play a similar role. Like I can't solve their problems. I yeah. can't carry the weight that they're experiencing, but I can give them either a reprieve from that weight at a youth group, or I can walk them through a long period of time of being present with them.
Right.
And yeah. I can support you while you're dealing with these greater mm-hmm. issues at
yeah.
hand.
Well, and that's perfect because no one else can wear the ring, right?
Yeah.
Sam can't just take the ring off of Frodo and wear it himself. He right. can't take that burden from him, but he can pick Frodo up and carry him along with his burdens. I'm gonna support you in this entire process. Mm-hmm. We're gonna right. move through that. So I think that is something that we experience a lot, just in our daily life. And then there's this overarching theme that I've wrestled with myself, just in the context of being a pastor, but in the context of existing in the world as well, of this idea that fighting against evil, whatever form that might take, is more important than protecting my own life. Right?
Sure.
You know, there's this reality that, and we think about this particularly today being All Saints Day, right? Today's November 1st as we're recording this. And so there's this reality that we're all going to die in one way or another. That there's no avoiding that. And so how do we want to spend our life? Do we want to spend our life trying to protect our life, or do we want to spend our life trying to make it better for others at the risk of our own life? And there's a lot of that kind of motif that plays out where these different characters put their own safety aside to protect people who often don't want to be protected.
Yeah.
And what does that mean for us as people to be putting our life at risk for people who may or may not want that help, or may or may not be ready to accept that help?
Yeah, ultimately, Lord of the Rings is maybe one of, if not the greatest trilogy of movies that has ever been made. It's pretty phenomenal.
It's great.
I recommend the extended editions.
Sure,
but absolutely. They add a significant length to the movie.
They do. It's like 4 hours a piece with the extended edition, I think.
Somewhere around there. Like, you're looking at 12 hours of runtime to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, a great holiday tradition to just plug that in at the beginning of the day and all day long.
I'm going to have to do it because I haven't seen them.
Yeah?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for, spoiling it.
See, I told you I'm not a movie person.
Spoiler alert for the person in the room. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
So, not movie person. Do you have a movie for us?
That I do. And it's interesting. Okay, so I watched movies as a kid, obviously.
Okay.
I now have my own children.
Sure.
So, they're also watching children's movies. So, I wonder what movie selection
kids
genre
movies are great.
I'm...
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They're fantastic.
Kids movies. The Lion King.
Ooh,
okay. So, it's interesting when you just said, Pastor David, that... sometimes people protect people who don't necessarily want to be protected.
Yeah.
And I immediately went, oh my gosh, that's Simba and Mufasa.
Oh, yeah,
granted
yeah.
that Simba's a little kid and at the time, in the beginning. And, you know, kids don't always feel like they need you to do everything for them, or they want to do it on their own and they're independent. But similar to that, Mufasa, obviously, when Simba was down in the... ravine, and then the zebras all came and
wildebeest.
Yep. See, okay, but, the animals came.
There you go.
And he was trying to rescue Simba, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Though for those of us who have seen the movie, which I would assume would be a lot of people, Mufasa dies.
He does.
It was really sad.
Saving
and
his
a single
son.
Tear
right. It was.
Falls
it was
down,
very
yeah.
sad. I
yes.
cried.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but really, what I want to focus on is. After that.
Okay.
So when Simba goes away and meets Pumbaa and Timon.
Yes.
And
my
they're...
favorite Disney characters from my childhood. Yeah,
they're so
them.
Fun. So interesting. Simba's out in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Out in the desert.
Yeah.
Let's see. And this is really awesome because over the next 2 weeks, our children will be studying Moses being out in the wilderness for 40 days.
He has his own period of desert wandering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Kind of like Moses did. And then comes back and eventually saves his people.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Very
so
Moses-like.
There's
That's
my
great,
little...
Yeah.
There's my little connection right there to the Bible.
I love that. I've never actually thought about that in the context of the Moses story before. That's right. Yeah. I like that a lot.
So
you're not
going
to be watching The Lion King to teach your kids about Moses in Sunday school for the next 2 weeks?
No, but that's a really good idea. No, we're not.
The Lion King is pretty good anyway.
It is a great movie.
It's one of the Disney greats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, and they're coming out with a new one in 2019.
Live action.
Yes. Yeah, I know. I'm excited. I'm ready to see it.
I'm over the whole live action movement. Just let the animated movie be animated.
Yeah.
Though I will say the Broadway Lion King also
excellent. It's amazing.
And the scene where Mufasa dies in the Broadway Lion King is incredible from the staging perspective. Just, I'll throw that out there.
Yes.
I've not seen that. I have seen the Lion King celebration at Animal Kingdom at Disney World.
Is that cool?
It's pretty great.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah. All right, well, I have a movie, too. I'll do another children's movie, because I have two as well. And this is my favorite Disney movie, or I guess Pixar movie. It's a movie called Finding Nemo.
An excellent choice.
One.
Yes, I love Finding Nemo. I watched that, I guess, when I was living in Lubbock on an internship. I rented it and watched it by myself. Cried through a lot of the movie. And that's not really that surprising. I cry in a lot of movies.
Right.
So, but it had a lot of... elements of like father-son issues that I was processing my own father-son issues. But what I think is neat about this movie is it is ultimately a tale of not a son's journey away from a father, but a father's pursuit of the son.
Yeah, that's great.
What is the father willing to do to get to his son? Mm-hmm. So I definitely can see elements of like the prodigal son story in this. Mm-hmm. Even the nature of God's relationship with man, this idea of whatever it takes, whatever I have to go through to get to those that I love, to bring them home matter. Mm-hmm. And so, in a sense, you know, the prodigal son story in Luke 15 can deal with a lot of these issues of children. But I think the main character in that story is the father in that story.
Yeah,
and in the same way, the Finding Nemo, the Nemo part where he's with the fish tank and a shark bait, hoo-ha-ha, all that stuff is cute and it's great. But the crux of the story is how does the father rescue the son?
Right, yeah.
And what does that mean? I use this a lot sometimes when I talk to children to talk about father's love, and I say, well, you know, what are the things that the dad fish goes through? Yeah. His name is Marlin, and they like to tell me all the things that he goes through, like a whale and sharks, jellyfish.
The turtles.
The weird fish in the bottom of the ocean with the little light for which is kind of scary. Yes. And he's going to go through all of that just to get, you know, to his son. And we can see what our God is willing to do. Through sacrifice, through death, through resurrection, to get to us, to rescue us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's a powerful film. I love Finding Nemo. It's really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are good. And I love that we can pick three pretty and diverse, pretty out there films that on their surface, none of them are advertised as religious or Christian movies. None of them are out there. But, you know, I don't know of anyone doing a sermon series on The Lord of the Rings, though you certainly could.
Sure.
But, you know, it's another way that we take these things from our culture and say, we can use this to point to our faith. One of the jokes that Patrick has made as we've been kind of preparing for this particular episode is anything can be anything, right? You know, we don't have to worry about what it is. We just have to see it in that particular way. And so we can look around us and we can see God. We can see faith and anything. Mm-hmm. And so how is God speaking to you in this particular moment or that particular moment? Yeah.
Do we have any others that we would like to go over?
Yeah, I got another one. This is one, I don't know if you all have seen this. It's called The Apostle.
I have seen it.
You have seen it?
Yes.
Yeah. It is a weird movie.
Yes.
But it's really, really cool and explores some great themes around sin and how does sin follow us and what does it mean to be forgiven and what does baptism do for our lives and what does it mean to be forgiven in the eyes of God but not in the eyes of society?
Sure.
And so, you know, really shortly, basic premise is that Robert Duvall is kind of this evangelical country preacher, I think is probably the best way to describe him.
Sure,
divorced from his ex-wife and has two little kids with his ex-wife. His ex-wife is starting to date a new man. Robert Duvall attacks this man with a baseball bat and then runs away. And I don't remember now if the guy dies or if he's just in a coma.
I believe he dies.
He does die. Yeah, that seems most likely. But so Robert Duvall is like on the lam and runs and rebaptizes himself in a river to cleanse himself of the sin of murder and then stumbles into this kind of middle of nowhere church and leads this congregation into kind of into glory, like does great preaching with them, reinvigorates their life. You know, they rebuild their church and all this stuff. Great things are happening. And then eventually the state sheriff's department finds him and hauls him away. And so, yeah, there's all these tensions and things that are pulling at us. And it's one you've really got to see. It's definitely not a kid-friendly movie. I'll preface that. Do not watch this with your kids. and definitely be in the right mindset when you watch this. It's not a fun-loving, you know, let's have a great night out kind of movie. It's intense, but it's really, really good.
Yeah. This one definitely has maybe even like direct Christian overtones.
It does, absolutely.
Since
he
is a Baptist preacher, it's called The Apostle.
Yep.
But it's still not necessarily made with a Christian audience in mind.
Right.
It's not it's not by Christians for Christians.
Right.
It
exactly.
It is Hollywood art that is exploring issues of faith in a professional
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Katie, do you have another one for us?
I mean, I could go the Harry Potter route.
Sure, that's a solid choice.
Because, I mean, I just think it's really obvious all throughout Harry Potter. I mean, I know in the beginning, we were talking about this earlier, Pastor David, that sometimes it was a little bit of a turnoff for Christians because of the witchcraft and the wizardry and all of that kind of stuff. But especially like in the last movie, in the Deathly Hallows, Harry sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
And very much like Jesus sacrifices and then was resurrected. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's great stuff in there. And what I love about that choice is kind of reclaiming the story that certain communities of Christianity have said we can't be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God doesn't necessarily want us to say we can't be a part of a community of a cultural experience. There are certainly things that we need to be careful of and wary of.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I think there's just so many great themes that I would love for my daughter to understand about how we exist with one another within the Harry Potter stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm biased because I was, you know, a kid when Harry Potter came out. Right. And so I grew up with those to an extent.
Right. Yeah. So you grew up practicing witchcraft.
Yep, I did. Yes. No, that was not like, so the Harry Potter rage didn't really hit until I was in college.
Sure.
But the first book came out when I was in middle school. And so I read the first book when it first came out, yeah.
Yeah, I read them as an adult. They were given to me. I was working at a church at the time, and one of the youth gave me the first book to read. And I powered through and read the first six within a month.
Yep.
And then I had to wait a few months for the seventh one to be released. But yeah, they're great books. They're really easy to read and fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have really neat themes in all of them. In every book, there's really neat stuff going on.
Yeah.
What about the movies? Do you like those movies or just the books, Katie?
I like both.
Okay.
I do. Yeah. And I obviously, when I started reading them, it's as they came out. And so like the movies weren't coming out as fast, obviously. I mean, the books were out first.
Sure.
So I made the mistake of starting to watch the movies. So then all of a sudden, as I'm in like book two, and I now have a different picture in my head of what those characters were or whatever. So it's kind of turned into playing out in my head now as the movie instead of as what I originally had pictured.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the movies at least help me know how I'm supposed to pronounce Hermione's name.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. said that wrong until the movies came out.
Yeah, in my brain, Hermione?
Right. Mjolnir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's not really very clear.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
And my own mother, my dear sweet mother, was convinced that Muggle should be Mugle because it's spelled like bugle, which makes sense. But yeah, it's Muggle, not Mugle. Sorry, Mom. It's things we learned when they did the movies. Yeah.
And I do appreciate in those books and movies that Voldemort always at least waits till the end of the school year for the final attack.
It is nice, right?
Yeah, he's really, let Harry get his lessons
in. He's got to get his education.
Yeah. Instead of just right at the beginning of the school year, we got to go through a whole year
and then, of mischief and mystery.
Yes.
And,
Yeah, so that's nice. All right, so I'll finish this up here with one last one here. One of my favorite movies, a superhero film. I love superhero films.
Sure.
And the sequel of this gets a lot of praise, and I think rightfully so, but I think I like the original and the sequel a lot. And that was a movie called Batman Begins. And the sequel is The Dark Knight, which is a great superhero
also
film.
Fantastic.
Maybe the best, yeah.
Yeah.
So Batman Begins is about how Batman begins. Yes.
A creative title, to be sure.
Yeah. Yes. So how did Batman become Batman? Katie, are you familiar with Batman?
Why are you asking? No.
I mean, you have a son.
I mean, yes, I know who Batman is. I know. Yeah. And both my husband and my son both watch it together. And I catch snippets.
Okay.
But I'm never just sitting down watching it.
Okay. Well, so in the movie, Batman is a young boy by the name of Bruce Wayne who endures a trauma. His parents are murdered in front of him through an horrific act of violence. And so he goes through an angry period in his life growing up where he wants revenge and vengeance against the murderer. And the murderer is eventually killed before he can get his vengeance. Mm-hmm. So he runs away from Gotham, the city where he lived, and kind of travels the world. And on those travels, he learns how to fight, learns martial arts, learns all these different things about how to become a superhero, basically, and also learns that the vengeance he was after is not the solution. One of the neat things about Batman is he has this very strong moral code that he will not kill his enemies. Not every superhero has those, including the family-friendly Marvel movies. They're very willing to kill their bad guys.
Sure.
Batman is very in the Batman Begins universe, very very concerned. I will not murder my enemies because I do not want to do that. And I think that's an interesting thing, this idea that Batman is willing to go into the dark parts of his community without being corrupted by those dark parts of his community. How can I face evil without having it affect me?
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting thing for us as Christians. How do we go into the dark parts in our world while still remaining steadfast and strong. Mm-hmm. And how do we do that with our own moral codes, our own community support? Another interesting thing about the Batman mythos, or the superhero mythos, is this idea of who is Batman truly? Is he Bruce Wayne, or is he the Caped Crusader? Which is the real person?
Yeah.
And I think Batman Begins does a good job of playing with kind of this idea of, well, both are kind of this person. The public figure is him, and also the secret Avenger are both him. And in some ways, I think Batman Begins explores this idea of Bruce Wayne is actually the mask that protects Batman and not the other way around. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that apply? How can Christians engage or apply with that?
Well, I mean, who are we on Sunday versus who are we beyond Sunday, right?
If we
plug our own title here, I think. You know, are we wearing a mask throughout the rest of the week, or are we wearing a mask on Sunday mornings?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a question that we all need to wrestle with.
Yeah, I think those are interesting themes in there. And then the last thing that I think is really cool is Batman has a childhood friend, Rachel Dawes, and he's trying to convince her as he comes back to Gotham now as fully prepared to fight crime. And he's trying to convince her that he's changed, he's not the same person, while keeping up this image of a billionaire playboy. And so she tells him this really neat thing. She goes like, Bruce, you may be that same great kid underneath, but it's what you do that defines you. And then later in the movie, Batman rescues her as the Caped Crusader, and she says, who are you? And he says, it doesn't matter who I am underneath, it's what I do that defines me. And I think this is a really interesting question.
And then she whispers his name longingly as he jumps off the side of the building. It's very dramatic.
Yes, great. And then he goes to go fight some dudes, and throw some boomerangs around. Right, some batarangs,
Batarangs.
But I think it's a really interesting question for us. What defines who I am as a person?
Yeah.
What's on the inside are what I do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so let's maybe engage with that a little bit. What do you think? What defines you? And obviously the correct answer is probably some form of both.
Right.
What most defines you?
Right. I mean, how many times have we heard the saying, talk the talk or walk the walk? You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you can talk all you want about, you know, how you're behaving and what you're doing, but is that lining up together?
Yeah.
I personally, I guess, tend to think it's your actions more than it's what you say you're doing.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can make a biblical argument. I mean, Jesus or Paul, I can't remember offhand, will say, by their fruit, you will know them.
Mm-hmm.
That how they act and do things in the world, you will know who they are. I mean, he will say to the Pharisees, you are like whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside, but dead things on the inside. So maybe that leads us to the other thing. Maybe the dead on the inside matters. So what do you think there, Pastor David?
I mean, I think this is a great example of why we get so frustrated and angry when we see church leaders committing any varieties of abuse.
Absolutely,
right? We see church leaders who have spoken one thing and behind closed doors have lived out a very different life.
Yeah.
And you know, even with you know, great historical leaders, you know, we see this happening where suddenly we uncover, you know, a truth about, oh, they did this or they did that, and people start to question, well, what about all the good things that they said and wrote? How do we separate those two? Can we separate those two? Should we separate those two? Are all really important questions. And it's hard. You know, for us as people of faith, we don't want to have to separate it from ourselves. We want to be living out, you know, our actions to match up with the things that we say and believe. And so on a day-to-day basis, you know, if I'm preaching about loving my neighbor and about caring for the least of these, then I want to be living a life that is loving my neighbor and caring for the least of these. Right?
Sure.
I want those two things to line up. But man, I don't know how history is going to judge me, right?
Sure,
you know, in 50 years, is someone going to read my sermon and say, yeah, but he didn't stop and give $5 to the guy on the corner.
Absolutely.
He didn't do this,
sure,
that, and the other. I think it's a fine line that we have to walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it does create these interesting things. You know, what about my faith is the most valuable or the most real? The personal journey that I'm on, or that expression in the world? How am I expressing that faith to those that I meet and connect with?
Yep.
And as Lutherans, we definitely value and believe this idea that God has come to us in grace and forgiveness, and we are saved through that grace, not by our works, but in the same breath, he says, and now do works.
Yeah.
And now show your faith through your expressions in the world, how you do things.
Yeah, well, and that's a particular challenge for us as members of a Lutheran church, right? We believe so heavily in this gospel of grace that there is absolutely nothing we can do to earn or deserve God's love, which I still believe is true.
Yeah.
That we've shied away from expecting people to live differently. It's like, oh, grace is a gift. You get that no matter what. So you don't have to do anything to earn it. It's true, but receiving that gift should change how we live in the world.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. When I receive this incredible gift of love, it should have an impact on how I exist as a human being.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a gift that's meant to be stored under the bed or brought out on special occasions.
Right. Or buried in a field. Yeah.
Or buried in a field. Well, that's what you do with your saints.
Right. That's what I knew I had something here, yeah.
Gotta sell that field.
I get so confused. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right, well, those are six movies that we like and we think are neat. I think some of them are appropriate for many different age ranges in our listening, from young children to teens to adults. All those things can be engaged in on different levels. Mm-hmm. All right, so now's the time of our podcast where we do a recommendation.
Yeah, I've got one.
And we did not decide who was going to do the recommendation.
I've got one ready.
Okay.
So I, in college, took a class called Religion and Film with one of my favorite professors.
Okay.
And this professor's husband is a movie producer.
Ooh.
And one of the first movies that he produced was called The Book of Life. And it's The Book of Life back in 1998. So if you're looking for it on IMDb or Amazon or anything like that, you can still find copies of it, but it's The Book of Life, 1998. It is not some weird animated thing that came out in like 2014. I don't know what that one's about.
Yeah, that's like a Day of the Dead type of
movie. Okay. See, I don't even know what that one is.
But not Coco.
Not Coco, which is the good one.
The other one.
So The Book of Life explores what it would be like if Jesus came back in the late 90s New York City and had doubts about the apocalypse. So his role, you know, he's coming back to unveil the apocalypse. He, the Book of Life is like an old school PowerBook laptop, and the seven seals that he has to break are seven passwords that he has to put in, and it's all very clever.
Okay.
But so Jesus starts to have doubts about what it would mean to unleash the apocalypse upon the earth. And
okay.
So it kind of explores this theme. It's super kind of indie, a low budget thing, but it's really interesting and does some great explorations of what it might be like if Jesus were doubting the apocalypse. So The Book of Life, back from 1998, produced by Matt Myers.
Okay. There you go.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
Husband of a friend of a friend of the podcast.
Friend. Yes.
6 degrees from the podcast, for
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Facebook friend of the podcast.
There you go. We'll take that, too.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We're a cheap date, yeah.
All right. Book of Life. Do you know if it's on Netflix or anything?
I have no idea. I haven't looked for it on Netflix, but you can find it online.
Okay. Yeah, you might have to rent it through
You might have, to pay for it.
Oof.
God forbid.
Yes. All right. So that's our talk about movies. Let's see. Now we get to go talk about all the ways you can find us.
That's right. You can find us at BeyondSundayPodcast.com, where you can find all the newest episodes. You can find us on Apple Podcast, Google Play, and Spotify.
Apple Podcast is called iTunes.
No, it's called Apple Podcast. It's separate from iTunes, Patrick.
Okay. Ooh.
Keep up with the game, all right?
Well...
You can find us in all of those places. You can be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us at any chance you get. Tell your friends. We want to help this get out to as many people as possible. And you can get in touch with us as well at Beyond_Sunday on Instagram, or at Beyond Sunday Podcast on Facebook, or through the old email at BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Have we gotten any emails?
Not today.
Not today. Not today.
We got a couple advertisements the other week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I haven't even signed us up for anything, but we got ads. So yeah,
they
comforting. Yeah.
Maybe we'll read those. We can get some money out of it.
You know,
they want to advertise on our podcast.
I don't think that's what the advertisement was, but okay. You never can tell.
Sure, sure.
I love your optimism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't?
All right. So that's it from us here at Beyond Sunday Podcast. We hope you have a great week.
Yes.
See you next time.